the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life is going to be very important, because that is what is going to caution you from some decisions that you're going to make that are going to take you the wrong direction. The witness of the, you need to get acquainted with what that means for you, that you are going somewhere and there is something that gristles on the inside of you. This is how you know that the Holy Spirit is doing something, is that you will feel unsettled. And the question you will say to yourself, this is just me. Maybe I ate something bad. No, that is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to, you've had dreams where you wake up in the middle of the night and there is a worship song that is playing in, you just wake up and there's a worship song playing. That is an invitation from the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I need you. Let's talk. Let's do business together. Please, whenever you feel, no matter where you are, and you can give people an excuse, and just say, oh, sorry, I just got to go to the toilet. But there is some, there is this witness that he will speak to you, and he will say, I just want you to pull aside, even if it's for 5 minutes. You need to understand the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life. I tell you that even kids understand the witness of the Holy Spirit in their lives, except they don't know what, they cannot articulate what is going on the inside of them. And what you are going to experience is out of character behavior in children. And you need to be sharp enough as a parent to say, this is not normal. My child does not normally act like this. They could be 3 years old. They could be 4 years old. I need you to not ignore that. I need you to then say, you know what? Let's pray. There is a time my Witsepa was sick. We went to the doctors. They didn't know. This is when we had gone overseas for travel. We didn't know. And I was talking to that with my mother-in-law yesterday, that all of a sudden, we went to the doctor, we came back, she was sick, they couldn't work out what it was. Then there was a rain, it rained heavily. And I said, I've witnessed this rain before. Now, there was a time when my grandmother was gravely ill, and it rained cats and dogs like nothing before. And there were some men, God bless them, that had the Spirit of God upon their lives, who came and prayed. And all of a sudden, my grandmother was well. But that rain, I remember then calling everybody to say, hey, can we all gather and pray? And we did that. And all of a sudden, this young girl got better. Because that was an attack. You see, says there are certain things that you will not be able to work out through human reasoning. It is only going to be by the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. This is why, please, do, when you understand what that witness is, that is the same witness that will tell you if you want to marry someone that will say no. That is the Holy Spirit. And I don't want us today, I'm sensing really strongly, this witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives is important. That you do not ignore that. Amen. So this morning, welcome to everybody. We are really grateful that you could join us. To all our new people here, we've got a few. Welcome. It's always great to gather as we gather in the house of the Lord. Can I say to this worship team that thank you very much for allowing the Lord to move without being super precious. That, we've got an agenda. The agenda of the Lord is more, may this be the day that we've broken something where we've tuned into the Spirit of God. Amen? So C3 Fremantle is a place to belong and a place to be planted and a place to become what God has purposed for your life. So you might have walked in today feeling disconnected, weary, or uncertain about your purpose. But the good news I have to share in the time we have this morning is that God is not finished with you. Psalm 92 shows us a powerful picture, the righteous flourishing like palm trees, growing like cedars and bearing fruit in every season, even in old age. The desire for God that God has for your life is not that you survive and then you die, but is that you flourish in all seasons of your life. Amen. Psalm 92 verse 12 to 15 says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, 'The Lord is just. He is my rock. There's no evil in him.'" If I go to the Amplified and I read the exact same passage, it says, "The righteous will flourish like the date palm, long-lived, upright, and useful. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. They are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises," like we heard from Ms. Harriet this morning. "He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." That God is faithful. What he says, he does. Who he is who he is. So C3, I want to talk as we just expound on this particular three verses or four verses, is talking about a place to be planted. Like, this is a place where you can be planted. Now, it means that you have to be intentional and not what? Casual. You have to be intentional and not casual. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Now, what we're saying here is that when you are in and around the presence of God, there is something positive that happens in your life. There is a flourishing that takes place. Now, flourishing, you don't just flourish. It begins with being planted firmly and intentionally. You are not potted like a pot plant or portable. We don't grow in passing. We grow through permanence when we make a decision that, hey, you know what? I am now going to be rooted in the things of God. I am not going to be playing around with the Lord anymore. I am going to get serious with him. And it's like a sculptor working on wood or stone. There's a shaping, there's a chiseling. You think it's easy for the stone to get somebody chiseling on it, or for the wood? It's not easy. There's pressure involved. But if the material, the wooden or the stone material, keeps moving, the art cannot be completed. God cannot finish what we won't allow him to form. So if we're not planted, we don't provide the Lord with the opportunity to do what? To work with us, to, you know, deal with some attitudes, deal with some belief systems that are not correct. Because if we keep hopping around and we are not centered, it's just like, you know, for most people that come from overseas, one of the things that they always say is that, oh, I can't wait until I go back and live in my country where I came from. That the problem with that kind of mindset is that it stops you from actually allowing yourself to grow in the country that you're now in. Because we have this wishful thinking that things are going to be good back in the old country. This truth about being planted doesn't apply to our church life. It applies to other areas of our life, in our marriage, in our marriages. Being planted means staying committed and working through hard seasons. Now, the reason why everybody claps when they hear somebody's been married 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we are clapping for the what? Endurance. That's what we're clapping about. They've endured. Wow, how did you do it? For 40 years, you stayed married. In relationships that we have with one another, being planted people forgive. Planted people persevere and they grow. Learning the beauty of love refined by truth. Now, as you gather within a church setting, whatever setting that is, it may be in a family. If that family or that relationship is going to do well, there has to be forgiveness. If there's no forgiveness, man, it's a struggle. At work, being planted leads to growth in character, in trust, and in influence. Because God often uses our jobs as training grounds for our purpose. So wherever God has placed you, don't be quick to uproot, because growth takes time. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says that when the ruler rises up against me, I will not leave my post. Let's not be those that are moved by our emotions and how we feel. Let's be those that deal with the facts, not with opinion or emotions. Belonging, as this is a place to be planted, we say belonging gives you identity. When you belong to C3 Fremantle, there's identity. We're in the things of God where, you know, the Lord loves us and he cares for us. He calls us all these wonderful things. So it gives us identity as sons and daughters of God the Father. Planting gives us stability. But when we stay, it gives us fruitfulness. And so I wonder for you, if you take this moment of reflection, am I rooted where God has called me, or am I restless and resistant to his process? Am I rooted where God has called me, or restless and resistant to his process? See, because God has constantly been knocking on your door of your heart, and you keep putting him off and saying, no, I'm not yet ready to make a decision to give myself wholeheartedly to you. This morning, have you been resisting the Lord? You see, when we are planted, you're planted, and this also becomes a place to grow strong. And when it becomes a place to grow strong, you have to embrace the friction that comes with being together with people. If you don't want to have any friction whatsoever, if you don't want issues, go and live somewhere in the wilderness. You'll have a good time there. But the moment you live with people, you are going to experience friction in your life. You will never know if you're a single person that you've got some issues. But all of a sudden you get married, you realize that, oh my goodness, I never knew that I was like this. Or you thought you had a lot of patience, and then you have children. Then you realize that, oh, I'm not as patient as I thought I was. You know, that scripture says, they will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. We know that cedar trees don't grow overnight. Their strength is hidden underground long before it becomes visible above ground, because the roots go down deep. So they're able to sustain the height and the length of how the tree grows big. Strength in the church is built in the same way. It is not through ease, but through endurance. Don't avoid friction, because God uses friction to sharpen us. That challenging conversation that you might have at Connect Group, that clash of opinions, even that awkward moment, they're all tools in God's hands, shaping your maturity. The scripture says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so we have to, if we're going to grow strong, we have to embrace friction. So let the Holy Spirit work in your heart through others. Growth isn't always comfortable, but it is always worth it. So another point of reflection. Where is God using friction to make you stronger? Not bitter, but better. Where is God using friction to make you stronger? And it is also a place to bear fruit. When we are intentional about being planted, we have to be intentional that, okay, I'm going to plant my flag here. This is where I am. I'm going to allow my roots to grow down deep. I'm going to bring correction into my life. So there are people that you are going to allow to come into your life that will help you give perspective so that they will tell you, oh, what you're doing there is not good. Because you don't want people that will always tell you good things about, oh, yeah, you're a wonderful person. Now, there's nothing wrong with you. Surely, what could be wrong with you? You're great. So this is why sometimes, you know, as fathers, we tell our children, oh, we, you know, you're lovely, you're great. And then they meet somebody else, their teacher at school tells them, oh, geez, you're not so great. But sometimes we need people to give us the self-awareness that we need. Our spouses were really good at telling each other, you know, that one lacks self-awareness. Friends do that. They're very kind to one another. But they won't say it in the most nice way. They'll just tell you, oh, geez, you got a bad odor. You know, they'll tell you that. But because they love you, it's just that they might not say it with kind words. But we need people in our lives when we are intentional about growing our relationships, about being planted at work, being planted in church. That intentionality then allows us to grow strong. And then most importantly, this then becomes a place to bear fruit. So we are intentional in our planting. We're growing strong because we invite people in our lives to guide us and to correct us and to love us. But then it's also a place to bear fruit where we have enduring faithfulness. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. Because God's vision for your life is long term. Faithfulness isn't limited by age, your status, or your stage of life. If you stay planted, you will keep producing wisdom, love, faith, testimony. Year after year, you don't have to reinvent yourself. You need to stay connected to the source, which is God, and trust the slow, steady work of God in your life. So this isn't just a place to belong or to be planted here at Fremantle. It's a place to become. And becoming doesn't happen in a moment. It's the result of season of abiding, trusting, and growing. Growth happens over time. And growth just doesn't happen. We call that accidental growth. But it's deliberate growth where you put yourself in a community of people that will be able to lead you and guide you and love you. And so I wonder, are you giving God time to develop fruit in your life? Or are you expecting instant results? What might God be calling you to become? What is God saying to you that, hey, this is what I'm calling you to become this? Because God normally calls out the purpose in our lives when we meet with Him, when we encounter Him. But are you giving Him time to develop the fruit in you, which means the constant you are exposing yourself to people that are going to love you, that are going to care for you, but also going to invite truth into your life, because that's what brings growth. And so who wants to be fruitful? We all want to be fruitful. And then lastly, it is a place to shine, where we are bearing the light of Christ, where we are a light that is put up on the what? The light on the hill. So when we flourish, we become living witnesses, where we are designed to bear God's light in the world. When we stay planted, our lives become testimony of God's faithfulness to you and I. We become lampstands, witnesses of Christ in dark places. No matter where we go, we're shining. You go to work and it's dark, but you're there, you're shining. You are bringing light. So whether it's at home, at school, at work, you carry the flame of Jesus. And your stability, your flourishing, points people to Him. So we don't want to be those that our words, in fact, that our words can disqualify our life. Eh? Oh, yeah, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you need to go to church. But then I'm late to work. I'm late to work. I leave early. I'm taking all the stationery. Especially when it's school is back at the beginning of the year. You know, instead of you're getting all the school supplies. You know, might as well. There's a stationery cupboard full of stuff. Now imagine when they see you, does your life reflect what your words say? Because that means that you're not a good light bearer. So am I a lampstand in my life, in my daily life? And what is my life declaring to those around me? What is my life declaring to those around me? And I'm just going to quickly go as we finish to the dangers of not being planted. The dangers. Without being planted, you're going to lack growth. You miss out on the spiritual nutrients that come from fellowship, from correction, from teaching and service. You see, like a seed blown by the wind, you may have potential, but you never produce fruit. You see, there's the danger of not being planted is that it brings an instability in your life. Unplanted people often move from place to place, idea to idea, church to church without consistency. They can easily be shaken by disappointment, offense, or trials. Somebody says something to you, I'm out of here. See ya. But then guess what? It just becomes a routine thing that you do. There's a lack of fruitfulness in your life. Fruit comes with time, process, and seasons. But if you uproot your tree too early, you abort what was about to bloom. This is why Jesus cursed the fig tree that had leaves but no fruit. So without roots, we can appear busy, but we are barren. There's an isolation. The danger of not being planted is that you are isolated from the body of Christ. God calls us into community, not isolation. Not being planted separates us from the strength that comes from mutual encouragement, correction, accountability, and covering. We are vulnerable to deception. When we're not grounded in sound teaching and spiritual community, we're more likely to fall for false doctrine or spiritual hype. And most importantly, you know, at the end of that scripture, it says, they will testify of the Lord, of what He has done. But if you are not planted, you're not going to be a good witness, or there's no legacy that you will leave in your life. Because a planted life becomes a testimony. A wandering life rarely does. Unplanted people leave no legacy because they're not around long enough to build anything meaningful. And then, of course, the last one, you become the danger of not being planted. You become an easy target for the enemy. Like a lone sheep away from the flock, the unplanted believer becomes an easy attack or target for spiritual attack. Get picked off easily. Bang, you're gone. And so you drift. And all of a sudden, you think, oh my, it's like a riptide. You come, all of a sudden, you're swimming, you're out at sea, you're gone. That's what it's like. I remember my wife knows that experience when she was pregnant. She nearly got taken out to sea. And I couldn't go after her, you know. So, and normally I'm a shy person, but I had to call out, ah, she's drowning, you know. Yeah, that's what happens if you don't go to orientation at university. I went to orientation and they told us that if you feel being taken away, swim parallel to the shore and then you come in diagonally. So I went to orientation. She obviously didn't. And she... anyway, can I just get the team to come back up? So let me remind you again that C3 Fremantle is a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become the things that God has purposed for your life. But this is also a call for you to be planted wherever God has assigned you. This is just not to say, oh, I'm going to do this in church and everywhere else can get stuff. Wherever God has assigned you, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your workplace. Because you know what? When we are, it says, those that are planted in the house of our God, in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. This is when we are in and around the presence of God in our lives. Things begin to happen. There is a fruitfulness that comes. But we are also responding. Why we have to be intentional is because wherever God has assigned for us to be, we are responding to the call to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. So what I will say to each of us is that we should stay rooted. Don't walk away too soon and let God finish what He started. For probably the last 3 months, I've been saying, Lord, what is my, you know, what's the mandate for my life? What is it? What's the mandate for my life? And on the way back from the conference that we attended, I was speaking to Murray Newman and just explaining, oh, this is, you know, what I felt the Lord saying to me. And I said that in that moment, my question changed about what's my mandate? Because it sounds a bit selfish. Eh? What's my mandate? And I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to do for you? That I am at your service. That it's not about me. It is about what God wants to do, that I am partnering. And so when you come here, you are partnering with what God wants to do in you and through you, through C3 Fremantle. So let's stand this morning. This general prayer, Lord, help me to stay planted in your house, in my relationships, in the places you've assigned me. Give me the grace to endure, the humility to be shaped, and the faith to keep bearing fruit. Make my life a living witness of your goodness and faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm just going to send out an invitation that if you've never, that the Lord has been knocking on the door of your heart and you've been constantly resistant, there is a call that's being made out, an invitation to come into relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a moment, as we go through this prayer, I invite everybody to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and sending Jesus to die for my sins. I repent of my sins today and choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if that is with you this morning, as before we worship and before we go, I just want you to raise your hands. You're inviting the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Just raise your hands where I can see. Father, I just thank you for your people this morning. That let the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let us understand the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives for your people. That, Lord, you would speak to them. That they would know. So, Father, we give you praise and glory even as we leave this place today. Watch over them. Watch over their families. And that we would call this place, C3 Fremantle, our home, a place to be planted, a place to belong first, a place to be planted, and a place to become all the things that you are calling us to be. And that we, Lord God, we would fulfill the mandate that you have. We will partner with you. We will be led by you in what you're doing to touch this city of Fremantle. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.